Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
14 years ago, American Jesuit priest Greg Boyle released Tattoos on the Heart, a memoir of his transformative work in East Los Angeles. His nonprofit organization, Homeboy Industries, is the largest and most successful gang rehabilitation and reentry program in the world. Kem gave it to me, and I could not put it down. Father Greg, who devotes an entire chapter of the book to delight, introduced me to the phrase, the duty of delight, an admonition to take seriously our job description as human beings, to be watchful for the hilarious and heartwarming, the silly and the sublime. He says there is a duty to be mindful of that which delights and to keep joy at the center, distilled from all that happens to us in a day, to train our hearts to choose joy. More recently, I have been making my way through Catholic activist Dorothy Day's memoir, a compilation of her journal entries, 693 pages of little tiny print, from 1934 to 1980, when she died at the age of 83. A suffragist, anti-war activist, and founder of the Catholic worker movement, she dedicated her life to alleviating poverty in New York City. The Vatican is currently considering her for sainthood. Her memoir is called The Duty of Delight. Here's just a taste. This entry is from July 9th, 1951. This diary could start with the chronicling of aches and pains, rheumatism, back pain, etc., every day. It could also go on to list work done, and that would give satisfaction. So many hours at the center, talking to visitors, odds and ends of housework, caring for the children, so much that does not show, that does not give one a sense of things accomplished. But today, we have a picnic in the wood. The air is sweet with milkweed in bloom. The honeysuckle is past, the sweet clover goes on all summer, the duty of delight. I love this juxtaposition of the everyday, the drudgery, with the playful, the sensual. Across more than half a century, Dorothy Day is insisting on both, on making room for both, on making room for it all. Father Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk and author, wrote, "No despair of ours can alter the reality of things or stain the joy of the cosmic dance, which is always there. There is delight, and delight is our duty." It just keeps coming up. This past Monday, in our Zoom gathering, sharing poems to go on, Connie Scanlon invoked the phrase, the duty of delight, and took us back to its source. Born in 1819, John Ruskin was an English writer, philosopher, and art critic. Critical of the Victorian Christians of his time, he wrote that they, quote, "dwell only on the duty of self-denial, but exhibit not the duty of delight." Father Greg Boyle, Dorothy Day, Arcani, I'll take it as a sign. Here we go. There is no denying that humanity and the forces of nature offer up an endless parade of misery. None of us is a stranger to it. Some of you know it intimately. And then there is the suffering of those unknown to us, but playing out on our screens in real time. I think I'm remembering correctly that years ago, my beloved colleague, Reverend Carl Scovel, who served King's Chapel on Boston's Beacon Hill for 32 years, said he didn't believe we were evolved enough as a species to metabolize the news from much beyond a city block or two. In this spirit, many of you have stopped engaging with the news, finding it life-denying and paralyzing. Keeping our hearts open can feel dangerous. But the world is also filled with beauty and tenderness. It is also delightful. And here is the spiritual practice. We are called to hold both realities, the terror and the beauty. American writer F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function." We are called to hold it all. American author and educator Parker Palmer writes, "During these dark days, it's easy to get stuck in despair as we watch so much that we love degraded or destroyed. For those of us who find ourselves in despair more than we'd like and can't find much to delight in, here are some questions worth pondering. Are we not trying to protect things that bring us delight? From the natural world to the dignity of all people to life-giving virtues like life, truth, and justice, all of which are under attack? Is it not true that the courage we need to fight for what's right is more likely to come from the energy of delight than from the paralysis of despair? And might we find more courage to defend what delights us if we refuse to let the powers that be rob us of our joy, leaving us disempowered by despair?" This is an excerpt from American poet Jack Gilbert's A Brief for the Defense. Sorrow everywhere, slaughter everywhere. If babies are not starving someplace, they are starving somewhere else. But we enjoy our lives because that's what God wants. Otherwise, the mornings before summer dawn would not be made so fair. The Bengal tiger would not be fashioned so miraculously well. The poor women at the fountain are laughing together between the suffering they have known and the awfulness in their future, smiling and laughing while someone in the village is very sick. There is laughter every day in the terrible streets of Calcutta. If we deny our happiness, resist our satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. We can do without pleasure, but not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of the world. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. We must admit there will be music despite everything. In the spring of 1984, some of my classmates at Harvard Divinity School divided ourselves up into three groups and did three important things. Stuart Guernsey, led the charge to found a shelter for unhoused people at the University Lutheran Church in Harvard Square. Peter Toms co-led the charge to found Friday Night Supper Program here at Arlington Street. And I was on the leadership team working to end the use of nuclear weapons. That may sound quixotic, but 40 years ago, all three issues felt equally pressing. My group went off to Groton, Connecticut, and joined Christian students from Yale Divinity School to protest the launch of a Trident nuclear submarine. It was Good Friday. The Yale students set up stations of the cross down the chain link fence surrounding the shipworks. It was spring. The Harvard students had brought trowels and seeds to plant in the large planter inside the main gate of the shipworks. Yale chained themselves to the fence. Harvard trespassed and began gardening. We were all arrested, and the news photos of young ministers, many of them in student collards, were fabulous. Jail was not fabulous, of course. I mean, we chatted up our jailers, played games, sang, we had a blast together. But the thought of having to stay was grim. All of us were supposed to be in our student pulpits on Easter Sunday. As it began to look like they were going to hold us over the weekend, a small wave of panic swept through. Stuart Guernsey, raised in the Deep South, had worked as a lawyer before coming to Divinity School. He had accompanied us to serve as our legal counsel. Eventually, we could hear him pounding on the door of the jailhouse, just like in the movies, calling up, "Open up in the name of the law!" And there was another sound that reached us. Dutch priest and theologian Father Henry Nouwen had come to the jailhouse to pray for us. We all knew him. He'd taught at Yale and then at Harvard, and we all adored him. And how did we know he was out there? He was singing, mesmerizing all of us, students and jailers alike. He sang over and over and over the song we all sang together this morning, but with the Christian words, "Jubilate Deo," be joyful in God. Alleluia. A nuclear submarine at a cost in today's dollars of $122.3 billion had just been launched and was making its way out into the ocean, ostensibly to kill children and other living things, for whom that kind of investment could have changed the life of their generation. But Henry was singing. Stuart was finally admitted to the jailhouse and advocated for our release on our own recognizance. Henry was still singing when the jailhouse doors were indeed opened and we ran outside and into his arms. The duty of delight. There will be music despite everything. Sharon Eakes, author of Liberating Greatness, The Whole Brain Guide to Living an Extraordinary Life, writes, "Sometimes we feel guilty experiencing delight when there is so much misery in the world. What I know is that there is always delight, even for the sick, the grieving. And oh, those who have so little. In my travels in the developing world, I have borne witness to breathtaking delight. Instead of focusing on what's not working, what's unjust, what threatens us, we can add delight to our to-do lists, searching out, noticing, and sharing what lifts our hearts. And in this way, we can create some balance in our lives, the hard with the glorious. One definition of ideal mental health is having access to a full range of feelings." American poet Ross Gay wrote Catalog of Unabashed Gratitude. And then on his 42nd birthday, he adopted the practice of writing a mini essay each day about some delight in his world. The result was the Book of Delights. He describes the development of his delight radar and bulking up his delight muscle. "I felt my life to be more full of delight," he writes, "not without sorrow or fear or pain or loss, but more full of delight. I also learned that my delight grows, much like love and joy, when I share it." The fact that Ross Gay is a Black man living in America makes his attention to delight compelling, a directive. Sharon Eakes advises, start small to grow your delight muscle. Notice an antic of your cat, a sweet memory, a delicious meal, a note from a friend, a small interaction with a cashier, the beauty of a tree outside your window. Ross Gay writes, did I mention the hummingbird hovering there with its green-gold breast shimmering, slipping its needle nose into the zinnia? Stay with delight for a few seconds. Let it settle inside you. Notice how a gratitude practice and a delight practice feed each other. Author Alan Cohen writes, you will find truth more quickly through delight than gravity. Let out a little more string on your kite. I'm going to close with the final stanzas of the beautiful poem Connie Scanlon shared last Monday in Poems to Go On. Thank you, Connie. This is American poet Jean Lohman from What the Day Gives. In the frozen fields of my life, there are no shortcuts to spring. But stories of great birds in migration carrying small ones on their backs, predators flying next to warblers, they would in a different season eat. Stunned by the astonishing mix in this uneasy world that plunges in a single day from despair to hope and back again, I commend my life to Ruskin's difficult duty of delight, and to that most beautiful form of courage, to be happy. Beloved spiritual companions, let us cultivate the stubbornness to accept gladness in the ruthless furnace of the world, to make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. May we watch for the heartwarming and hilarious, the silly and the sublime. We are called to hold it all. Let us train our hearts to choose joy. Amen. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart in namaste. I bow to the divine in you. Adapted from American poet Jean Lohman. Stunned by the astonishing mix in this uneasy world that plunges in a single day from despair to hope and back again, may we commend our lives to Ruskin's difficult duty of delight, and to that most beautiful form of courage, to be happy. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Amen.
Where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will go.
please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.